Blog Talk Radio.
Black Lives Matter show. We're running about an hour late. I had a meeting with our folks at church and took us a little longer than I thought, but we just wanted to come on the air for a little bit. Said I was going to be committed to doing what we do, and I was just happy to be here tonight. I want to give a couple of shout outs. I want to give a shout out to Dr. Gene Kennedy. I want to give a shout out to Minister Crystal, give a shout out to Minister Johnson. Give a shout out to Brother Tony, and all of you free fighters who are out there right now. Just thank God for all of you who is fighting a good fight. We have a lot of things going on right now. And some of it could be scary. Some of it could be just the way it is, you know. And we're just going to continue to fight the good fight, stand where we need to stand, speak when we need to speak, and speak truth to power. And so, a lot going on across the world. I'm hearing that the Afghanistan are supposed to be to Fresno, which they're being shipped all over the world. I did hear that some will be coming to Fresno. Want to see how that's going to play out, how we can support. There was a brother down in Oakland. brother in Oakland. I think this happened yesterday or the day before yesterday when the cops had someone from Caltrans called the law enforcement and Highway Patrol showed up. Whoever called the police said that this brother community had a gun. And so so when the Highway Patrol showed up, they had automatic weapons. They were using all kind of derogatory language, talking about they were going to shoot him in the head, and, you know, all that type of stuff. And so just ridiculous. And so, you know, black life right now didn't matter 400 years ago, and it doesn't matter 400 years later. And so that's still what we're dealing with here in America. And so hey, Brother Doug, I haven't seen you in a while, my brother. Yeah, I see you sold one of your trucks. You could have sold a truck to me. But anyway, you got to do it to your brother. But my sister Sherry on there, I ain't seen you in a while. Cousin Sean all the way from Colorado. That's what I'm talking about. And I apologize for coming on late today, but I had to do some church business that we, the new church I've taken over. I think I have, let me see who I have on the line right now. 3205, are you there? 3205.
Hey, Pastor, this is Brother Bullock. How you doing?
All right, that's a man. Hey, Nancy, what's going on, Nancy? Hey, Ward, what's going on? Hey, Sharon, what's happening? That's what I'm talking about. Oh, boy, light it up. Deacon Thompson from Mount Pleasant. What's going on there, Deacon? That's your brother. Listen, I don't know if you know folks at Mount Pleasant, Brother Tony. You know anybody at Mount Pleasant?
Hey, I know them old school folks at Mount Pleasant.
Well, man, listen there. Mount Pleasant got the best quark out. And I'm trouble for saying this, but whatever. Mount Pleasant got the best choir in Fresno. The whole valley. Man, Brother Thomas get on that beast, man. He be picking it, man. His wife be singing, man. And they allowed me to preach over there one time, man. I had to come out the pulpit, man. They would they be getting
they had you over the crowd, huh?
Man, listen, they got the best choir in the valley, man. That's what I'm saying. They ought to do it. I'm hoping one day they come over to my church and give us some lessons on how to sing and play and all that. But anyway, hey there, Jessica. But, you know, we just, you know, chopping it up, you know. Again, I apologize for being late. We're supposed to start at 8, but I had to do some church business that was important that you all are not important. But, I have to be accountable to what I got to do. But I just wanted to come on for a little bit and kind of chop it up with you all. We understand that we have the recall that is taking place tomorrow here in California. And Governor Newsom, right? I got that right. Is in a recall effort right now here in California, and there's a lot of people upset at that brother, and I'm still trying to figure out why everybody upset. But what I'm hearing, people are upset because of he shut the state down. You know, he's doing a lot of mandating wearing masks, and just different things people are just disgruntled about, but. But then I'm saying, in my mind, I mean, he wasn't the one that made the virus. I mean, why would you get upset at him, you know? But, you know, everybody want to. What do you think about that, Brother Tony?
Let's be honest and call it what it is. You got a lot of rich, white Republicans upset with Governor Newsom because he didn't allow California to become another Texas or another Florida. If they'd have had their way, there would be no mask mandate. Nothing would have shut down. And I can guarantee you California would be looking like Florida by now if Governor Newsom did not step in and shut down areas in Southern California, in Central California, in Northern California, where the pandemic had hit and had spiked and was going out of control.
Right.
The few shutdowns that we had actually got us back into a situation to where we could operate like normal. And you being here in the Central Valley, you know yourself what was going on. This is why you see people like Larry Elder, who out here playing the role, who out here talking about the minute he becomes governor, there'll be no mandates and I'll allow you to do as you please. This is the same man who said slave owners ought to get reparations and that George Zimmerman.
Wait, hold on, brother. You said Larry Elder said, the one that's running against Newsom, who's a Republican.
Larry Elder said that slave owners should get reparations. Yes, he said that.
Oh,
he also said that George Zimmerman did a public service by killing the young brother that he did.
Oh,
you see, Larry Elder has a lot of self-hate issues.
You said that Larry Elder said that Zimmerman did a public service by killing our little brother?
By killing Trayvon Martin. Because Trayvon Martin wasn't nothing more than a thug. He was a thug. He was out there doing things he had no business. See, this is what kills me when people don't look and see the entire picture. Now, Larry Elder is nobody new to me. I've been following Larry Elder's crazy behind for decades. And
right.
I will say what I've always said, a black Republican is like a chicken voting for Colonel Sanders. Larry Elder is one of them cats. He loves to say, I'm from South Central. But yet, he did nothing for the people of South Central. He got into Brown, bounced, and then, you know, coming from a household where one of his parents was a Republican, one of them was a Democrat, he decided he wanted to be a Republican and live like the good white folks do. Well, if that's your thing, that's your thing. But don't run through here and try to make the rest of us feel like because we don't buy into the madness you did, there's something wrong with us.
Right.
Larry Elder is nothing new. Him and guys like Armstrong Williams have been around for years. They are nothing new. Larry Elder represents rich white folks. He does not work for working class people, black, white, purple, anything. Larry Elder is about money and Larry Elder. And this recall election, I hope everybody votes no in a landslide. Show him how you really feel. So those of you listening to The Voice, my name is Tony Bullock. I'm the brother from Edison. Graduated in 77. Black and gold still got my soul. Black Panther to my heart. Vote no on this election. Shut it down. Send Larry Elder and his folks on back out the door.
There you have it. There you have it, everyone. There you have it, Brother Tony. Brother Tony, E.T., Edison High School. What year? What year, my brother?
Hey, I left Edison in 77, 75 to 77. I'm at the 1, 2, or 3. I'm real about what I do. You ought to know this. I'd have been out on the streets with you. I'm not that guy.
All right. Got my sister Watkins here. All where she at? I believe she's in, I want to say St. Louis, but it's not St. Louis. I want to say Detroit, Michigan. Man, you got folks' attention all the way up on in the South right now. But, you know, it's interesting to me how things play out, you know. Indiana, all right, sis, I'm sorry. All the way from Indiana. All right, thank you for tuning in. I got my head deacon at my church, Deacon Jay, listening tonight. I'm just going to give shout-outs to Watkins, shout-out to my head deacon, shout-out to it was Doug Best. Give a shout-out to my brother there. Nancy, give you a shout-out to Nancy. Shannon, give you a shout-out to. Jessica, give you a shout-out to. Sherry, give you a shout-out. My cousin Sean, all the way from Colorado. So we'll be talking about how we're doing here on the West Coast. With Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. And so with one of our community leaders, activists here, all the way from the 1960s, Black Panther style. James Brown says, say it black and I'm proud, say it loud. So, you know, one of the things, Brother Tony, you know, I drive the bus every day and I just listen to KF's 88.1 FM, and it just really gets up under my skin to hear the history of how Black people have been treated in this country. And still today being treated in the same fashion. And what make matters worse, they have co-opted a lot of our Black folk to think like the oppressor. And, you know, it's just, when will we ever be treated with dignity and respect? I feel that sometimes in California, and I say this respectfully, I feel sometimes in California, people don't even see us, right? Because I understand that I don't like using this word, but I'm going to use it. We're the minority, right? We don't have the numbers, you know, as our Latino and businesses. But I think it's one thing that we do have that people kind of forget is that we have character and integrity, and we're not scared. And I say that we're not scared because for 400 years in this country ago, our ancestors fought. We built over 30 cities across this nation that was all burnt down by the Ku Klux Klan and the U.S. government. To make matters worse, we just had 9/11. May God bless all those people who lost their lives in the World Trade Center and around the World Trade Center. A life is a life. But it's interesting to me how America continue to lie. They want to teach our children today that the worst terror attack on American soil was 9/11. And that is so far from the truth. So far from the truth. Because the first terrorist attack in America was Black Wall Street in 1921. To where it wasn't, as they say, Muslims from another country and all this. This was people inside of America that did this, that bombed our houses, that looted our houses, that deputized children to shoot us on the spot, to go inside and steal all the goods our ancestors worked for. This was the U.S. government that did this. The Ku Klux Klan that was working inside the U.S. government. And you have the nerves to tell our children today to go to your schools that 9/11 was the worst terrorist attack on American soil. I tell you, this is why.
Well,
go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, you think about it. 1921. Black Wall Street, thriving. Not only Black Wall Street is thriving, but the black community of Tulsa, Oklahoma is thriving. And not only are they thriving, but Rosewood, Florida is thriving. There's a community outside of Chicago thriving. One outside of St. Louis thriving. Everywhere in the country, right here in the Central Valley, you had a black community thriving down by Tulare, which is where we have a national park now. Okay? Everywhere that you had a black community thriving, they were attacked and burnt out. See, that's the other part that's kept quiet. Okay? Yes. That attack on Black Wall Street was devastating. The attack on Rosewood was devastating. But you said something earlier that you feel like in America they don't see us. Well, see, the other side of that coin is in order for them to see us, we have to see ourselves first. Brother George Jackson said that.
Yeah.
And, of course, he was the brother who got killed down there in a prison break.
And, you know, it's interesting you bring his name up because his name came up on the radio today. And there was a prison in New York, I think it was called, I want to say, it wasn't Alcatraz. It started with an A. I can't think of the name. But it was the first big riot in a prison that occurred in America. And I believe, was it Nixon? I think Nixon, the president.
Down in Angola in Louisiana? What
I
are you talking about?
Angola
in Louisiana? Is that what they were talking about?
Yeah. Okay, someone just wrote it on the, I think my cuz. Hey, what's going on, cuz? And you see it on there, Brother Tony?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, my cousin just wrote the name on the Facebook. I don't have my glasses. It starts with an A.
Was it Angola?
A-T-T-A. So, but what was crazy, man, was that the prisoners were being treated less than animals. I mean, this prison would only let our brothers take a shower once a month. They would only give them one bar of soap.
Yeah,
you know?
That was Attica. I think that was Attica.
Attica, that's what it is. Attica, that's what it
is. That was
New York. It was about it on the radio, man. And I'm listening to this driving, and I'm like, what the? Man, they took over the whole prison, man.
Yeah,
people took over the whole prison. And they wanted to negotiate. They wanted to negotiate treatment that they were being treated in that prison, man. And our brothers took it over, took hostages, not to kill them, because they didn't kill nobody. The U.S. government killed those guards, man.
The government
didn't kill
them.
That warden in Attica gave the word to go in and start killing and shooting, man. And when I heard testimonies about black brothers talking about how they were on the ground and they were being kicked in the nuts and all this type of stuff, man, and being beat with guns, and they were just trying to negotiate, man. They were being treated behind. Oh, now the crazy part is we as taxpayers, we pay them to get good service. Regardless of what they did, they should be treated with dignity and respect.
With dignity and respect. But that is what the American judicial system does. You look at the prisons down south. Like I just mentioned Angola. It was in Louisiana. It is the biggest prison in Louisiana. For decades, black prisoners and white. The one thing about Angola was they treated everybody less than human. But black folks, they really did that too. Angola was known for it. The ones in Mississippi was known for it. Our prison out here in California, everybody talks about San Quentin, but Brother George Jackson and the Soledad Five was down there in Soledad, okay? And this is where he wrote his books from. This is where Sister Angela tried to help him escape from. See, one of the things we must do as black folks, especially in the state of California, we got to stay prayed up, learned up, and stay on top of our truth. One of the things that happened with our children is there was a time frame in the late 90s, early 2000s, where they start convincing black children that they were fair and equal. You get to live just like the white kids. No, they don't, and still don't. But you got a lot of black folks who buy into that madness.
Well, you know, my cousin just said that prisons were designed to extend slavery. They were designed to extend slavery.
They were. They were. Your cousin is right. Prisons were designed to expand and to keep that rule of thumb of slavery. You ever notice, I'll give you a good example. When I lived in Nevada, I found out that the prison system in Nevada, half the hotels in Vegas had contracts with the prisons because that's where they got this beautiful furniture made. The Imperial Palace had a car museum. The cars in that car museum were worked on and restored by the prisoners of the Nevada penal system. So when you had a 57 Thunderbird sitting there looking in mint condition, you had the prisoners of Nevada to thank for that car looking like that, shining like that, and if you started that engine, running like that. The prison system.
And I bet you're going to get like five or 10 cents an hour.
Yeah, if they were lucky. If they were lucky. Because who was making money off of that was actually the warden of the prison. The prison's doing the work. The warden getting a big money contract and getting his cut of it, and them prisoners getting anywhere from 5 to 7 cents an hour, if they were lucky.
Brother Doug said, he says, prisons is not a nice place. I did 20 straight years. And then my cousin wrote, it was a documentary on PBS about it. You know, what's interesting is that we have private prisons where people invest in prisons. I never could understand why I call it a correctional facility.
Because that's all it was, the name only. They're not correcting the behavior of the person going in because 5 times out of 10, the prisoners that went in came out knew more coming out than they knew than they went in. They've learned all kind of crime right there in prison. I have a relative who has retired from working in the prison system, and he used to tell me all the time, as wild and crazy as a men's prison was, he'd say the woman's prison was worse. Because when you are a man working a woman's prison, you really have to watch yourself because of the way things are set up. And you have to watch yourself because of the things that can be used against you and you can be accused of working in a woman's facility. But the thing about prisons are prisons were never set up to rehabilitate a prisoner. They were set up to use a prisoner for the time that they were there.
So Doug said I get $1.15 cents, and it's encore. UNICO, or is what they call it. That's federal prison amount. And what's crazy is, well, here's what I don't understand. You supposedly do a crime. You do your time. You go into this kangaroo court that's being controlled by white folk. And you go to prison. You get sentenced. And you get out. And the first thing they tell you is, you get as what is it called, parole? I think you got to get on, you're on parole or something like that, right? And you got parole.
Some people do get on parole.
Right. Now, is that what they do when you get out of prison, you get on parole?
Some people get on parole. Not everybody does. Some have parole, some do not. It depends on what they done and what their sins were.
Okay. So then, let's just say they're on parole. Then you have to report, right? So this person is always following you. You got to report in.
Right.
But the crazy part I don't understand is they say you can't get no government assistance. You can't get no housing authority. You can't get no food stamps. You can't get, you know, anything that can help you survive, right? While you're out. And then, like the state of California, if you've been to prison and you done change your life, you know, whatever that is, married, children, and you want to become a contractor, and you put on an application, because it asks you about if you've been to prison, but then it says, well, depending on what it is, right? You can't become a contractor if you're on parole. So your whole life just stopped. So it's almost like they want you to go back and do possibly some bad things, you know, that you shouldn't do. But it's like, how are you going to survive? You know, and I look at our young brothers out here, it's like setting you up to fail. You know, you can't go to college and take out loans. And I mean, it's just such this creation of this, even a U.S. Constitution. To write in the U.S. Constitution that black people, 3/5 of them, all this stuff has been written in wording.
Right. See, this is where we must work beyond that. We have to work to change the rules. See, this is why it is important for people to stop sitting down and not getting involved. Because in order to make things better, we have to get involved. That's why I run my mouth so much. I drop letters to the people who say they represent me. I write my congressmen, both statewide and nationally. People like my girl down there, my state senators, my national senators, they get to hear from me. The White House, they get to hear from me. I will email Biden in a minute with no problem, because I'm one of those people, when you say you want to hear from your public, you're going to hear from me. Maxine Waters, she hears from me. My Congress folks here in Fresno that went to Washington, they hear from me. They hear my concerns. Why? Because I let them know what my concerns are. See, we can talk drag all day, but we have to stay involved.
Right.
And I always love it when people say, well, you know, you voted, but it don't really mean nothing. It does for me.
Well, we're coming up on the end of the show, but y'all who got y'all ballots and all that, a lot of taxpayer money is being wasted right now. We got fires going
on.
Yes, it is. We got COVID-19 here. We got people dying from the left and from the right and from the front, from the back. You know, we got our folks over in Louisiana, with the hurricanes and folks' houses is flooded. And, it's like, and here he is in California dealing with a recall. It's just unbelievable. It's just really unbelievable how we spend our resources and our money. Now, my cousin said it's designed to keep you in there but not allowing any rights or assistance offered to the general public. I can believe that. So, answer this one question for me, Brother Tony, before we go off the air. What does it mean when they say you are judged by your peers?
Okay.
But yet your peers ain't looking like you.
Exactly. See, when they put 12 people in that box and tell you you are to be judged by your peers, supposedly you are supposed to be judged by moral and upright people who, like you, go to work every day. You honor the flag. You know, you love your mom and your dad. You know, but you think, but like you said, you think about it. Who is actually judged by their peers? Because you know, like I know, if you're rich and got money, you get a whole nother level of judgment. Well, I'm quite sure little Johnny couldn't have done that. His parents have money. Whereas if you're from the hood and you commit the same crime, oh, yeah, he did it. Look at him. He out there with them gangbangers, and he always with them noisy people. And he's black. Oh, yeah, he had to do it. That's the honest to God truth.
But why would you think Larry Elder, who looks black on the outside, will say, he do not want black people to get reparations? Why would he even fix his mouth to say something like that?
Again, Larry Elder, like Armstrong Williams, who is another black conservative, like Candace Owens, those are those Negroes that if Harriet Tubman had come through, she'd have left them or shot them. Because they'd have been willing to tell Master everything we were doing and getting ready to do. Those are the kind of folks who don't believe in their people. They have no hate issues. They don't believe in their people. They do not believe in their own people.
Man. Oh, we're going to bed, Philly.
But
Larry
Elder thinks he's about to say that slave owners should have gotten reparations for the slaves that they lost, for the crops that they lost, for the work that wasn't done, is absolutely ludicrous. Again, self-hate. Self-hate.
Well, now, folks, there you have it. There you have it. One of Fresno finest. Fresno finest. It's a tiger. Brother Tony Bullock. Very, very known brother here in West Fresno. Fresno traveled the country. Traveled the country. Very conscious brother. And, we just want to say thank you for tuning in to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show tonight. We just wanted to come on the show tonight because I promised everybody that we were going to open up our shows. And I just want to keep my commitment to our folks. And I just want to thank my cousin and everybody who tuned in tonight. Appreciate you. Love your support over the many, many years. My cousin Maurice, When I ran for mayor, he took a picture with me. He stood with me all the way to the end. Brother Tony here was there with me all the way to the end. And those are the type of, you know, brothers that we need, you know what I'm saying, that really understand the struggle, really understand the fight. These are my mentors, my teachers, people who I believe in. And, you know, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Mari said, he said, right on, Tony. And, you know, we just have to keep it moving. You know, Rome wasn't built overnight. And we have to understand that we got much, much work to do in our community. And we're going to do it. We have to do it. We don't even have a choice in the matter right now. We don't have a choice in the matter. You know why? Because the little babies are depending on us, right? And I said that
exactly.
In our meeting tonight, that as I speak, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about our children and children, and our grandchildren, and our great-great, and our ancestors. That's right, cousin. Our ancestors handed the baton to us. You're correct, cousin. They handed the baton to us. Now, we can either drop it, fumble with it like we're born five or something, or grab hold on to it like the Black Panther Party did and stand strong. And one thing that I guess sometimes I scare people when I say this, but I don't mean to scare y'all who are very scary, you know. But you got to be willing to die for what you believe in. Because if the enemy is going to threaten you with death, for you to stop speaking for our children, you ain't worthy to live anyway. So, you know, we have to have the fiber in the 21st century moving forward. Because I can tell you right now, all the ethnic people in Fresno, from the Hmongs to Latinos to the Arabs, they got an agenda. And their agenda is to build institutions and to build wealth. We can do the same thing. Sometimes our worst enemy is us. It's what's inside of us.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? It's what's inside of us because we're the original people. We're the creators of all of life. Everyone that you see walk around, they come from us. You say, well, how do you know the Harris? Well, there was an old saying, if you want to hide something from a Negro, put it in the book. But Malcolm X said the worst thing that the white man did was let him read his books. So knowledge is power. We have to figure out what we got to do for our people. I ain't mad at the Latinos and the Hmongs and the Arabs because we can do the same thing if we take self out of it. Take self out of it. And so I just want to encourage everybody, you know, I hate to say this, but, you know, I it's like a relay here in Fresno, you know, with other cultures. You know, we look like we're in the lead, black folks. We so far behind, look like we're in the lead. We got to stop that. We got to stop that and come together, like you said, Brother Tony, Brother Maurice, and start building. Building. The carpenters. They built the whole country. We invented everything that's here.
Yes, we did.
One day, one show, we're going to talk about the inventions. We're going to talk about the inventions. But anyway, we're going to go out with Bob Marley tonight with One Love. And I'm going to have to cut the Facebook off because I don't even understand how people can play Facebook Live other people's music, but when I play it, they want to shut me down. Other people play other people's music, they just let it play. But when I play it, especially some conscious stuff like Public Enemy, Oh, you're in violation.
You know they're
going
to come for you, dog.
You're going to be in Facebook jail for 2 weeks. How about a month, Harris? Listen, I said, why you let these people play other people's music? Don't let me play.
You know, I understand that Facebook jail. I'll stay in there.
I don't know. But anyway, Facebook, y'all, thank you, Young, for coming on. We appreciate y'all for coming on. I got to go to bed. I got to get up in a few hours, but I just have to keep my commitment. Brother Tony's going to be having his own show. Tell them about your podcast, if you can, real quick, before we get off.
Hey, before you get off the air, if you think about it, you can find me on Spotify, and I do post them on Facebook also. But you can find me on Spotify. You can find the West Side View and the West Side Vision. I always keep it real. I always say what's on my mind. But once again, that's the West Side View and the West Side Vision. You can find me on Spotify, Brother Tony Bullock.
And what do you tell us all the time?
Hey, each one, reach one, teach one. Look out for one another. And we're like my girl Eileen say, stay black till we get back.
All right, there we go. There we go, there we go, there we go. Go, 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 go. Stay black till we get back. That's what my girl Eileen said. Who's another liberator of mine here in Fresno, California, and my teacher. Yeah, she teaches me all the time. And we're just going to go out with one love. I got to cut y'all off, Facebook, because I'm telling you, they're going to censor this whole show. Watch. So I'm not going to cut y'all. I don't mean to cut y'all off, but I got to cut y'all, because if they hear this, they're going to put me in Facebook jail. All right, I'll holler. Stay black till we get back.
Got your hair done. Huh? Oh, they're trying to look cute.
Did you get your car yet? You get your car yet? So my dinner tonight, know what it is? Know what my dinner is tonight? Watermelon. Watermelon, that's my dinner. Bad preacher, bad preacher.